So the readings this morning are taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, and then the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then from Mark. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible with God." And then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Colin. And now Chris is going to come talk to us about that passage. Can we just pray for him? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris and for the gifts that you have blessed him with. We thank you especially for his patience and calmness. We ask that you be with him this morning and give him your word to talk to us. And we ask that you open our ears and our hearts to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lizette, and thank you, Colin, for reading. And good morning, everyone. It is a delight to be here with you. We've had two amazing readings just there. I'm actually going to focus in on the reading from Mark 10. And what I find about both readings, actually, is we get this amazing demonstration of the enormity of God's grace. And in the midst of Jesus' words about money and the rich and all of that, we find just he's accentuating just how utterly dependent on God we are and what an amazing gift of God's grace that he gives to us. Many years ago, I attended a really tiny church in a little village. Let me just move this away. This is banging the microphone. Near where we lived. And there must have been maybe 10 people in this church. That was the entirety of their congregation. The singing wasn't very loud. And if you went to one of these services, you'd come out wondering, well, where is Jesus in the midst of these people? They didn't seem very happy or excited. But that would be to take it at surface value. I got chatting to a lady there, and we got on to chatting about Jesus. And her face lit up, literally lit up with this radiance as she started talking about what Jesus was to her, who he was, how she enjoyed his presence. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? And then another person in this congregation, and again, their face lit up about Jesus. And you started to see that actually here was the heart of these people. And this is why week in, week out, just the 10 of them would show up and be present. And yeah, their singing wasn't great. And they didn't have loud voices. But that didn't matter, because at the heart of them was this love for Jesus. And I think that's what we start touching on here. So we've heard the story. This man comes to meet Jesus, falls on his knees and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" An amazing question, but we have to unpack the motives as much as we can. As we read on, we work out that this man is a Jew. At age 12, 13, he would have had his bar mitzvah. He would have lived by the commandments from that point forward. The law would have governed his life. And yet, he's hungry for something. He wants eternal life. He doesn't feel that he's got it. He calls Jesus good teacher. Immediately Jesus challenges him. "Why do you call me good?" What's Jesus doing there? You see, because if only God is good, then this man had to recognize that Jesus was good, not because he was a great rabbi, but because he was the Son of God. And that's the reason for Jesus' challenge. Just saying, "Who do you realize who you are kneeling before and asking about eternal life? You're asking God." Maybe the man knew that, maybe he didn't. We don't know, but Jesus challenges him. And then he meets him right where he's at. He starts talking to the man about the law. He says, "Well, do all these things." What do we hear? The man says, "I've done those." He's looking for something that he can do that will bring him eternal life. Jesus' response is profound. But before we catch Jesus' response, let's look at what he does. Let's look at the context in which it's given. Verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's the context of everything that comes next. Is Jesus looking at this man, loving him, and longing that this man would find eternal life. And then he says to him, I find this really fascinating. He says that one thing you lack, and then he gives him two instructions. First, the instruction. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Second instruction. Then, come follow me. Two things, and they're connected. You see, the way this man would find eternal life was by coming and following Jesus. That's the heart of it. Eternal life is a gift of God's grace to us, found as we come and place our lives into the hands of Jesus. Go back to those people in that tiny church. Those ones I spoke to, they had found the gift of eternal life because they'd found this love for Jesus. They'd placed their lives into his hands. But what Jesus is saying is, but there's a block for you, for this specific person, there is a block. And that is that your wealth is where your security is. And so Jesus, in a way, is doing this radical heart surgery. That's what he wants to suggest by saying to this man, look, sell everything and give it to the poor, because then your security will not be in all those things you have. And you'll be able to come to me and follow me and find the eternal life that you seek. I wonder, what was Jesus' expression on his face as this man's face fell and he went away sad? There must have been a heart breaking. Because this man had prioritized the security he had in his wealth above the eternal life that he sought. It's like we read in the parable of the pearl of great price. It is so valuable that it's worth giving up everything for. That is eternal life. That is following Jesus. It's worth giving everything up. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I read this, and if we're going to read on a bit, and you think, Jesus, why did you have to choose money as the kind of the big issue? Why is that there? He could have chosen a whole load of other things, because this isn't like a universal command. We don't read this and say, okay, for every one of us, we have to actually sell everything we have, give it to the poor, and then we'll be able to follow Jesus. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, look for those things that prevent you from placing the whole of your life into my hands. That's what Jesus is saying. I think the reason he chooses money is because it is a very subtle security. We live in a culture, and the Jewish people lived in a culture where it was a good thing to be putting money aside. It was a good thing to have wealth. That was seen as a mark of godly character. We live in a culture where we're encouraged to have security. We have insurance, we have houses, we have savings. And so I think the reason money is here is because we might at one level think, well, I don't place my security in that. But the test of that comes when God says, would you give? Well, yeah, I'll give. Okay, well, would you give this much? Yeah, sure. Well, how about this much? Ooh. Where's that moment? So whilst this isn't a universal command, and here at Christ Church, we don't believe tithing is something that the New Testament teaches. The New Testament goes way but beyond that. It talks about radical generosity. If you come to the 10 recently, you'll know we're going through 2 Corinthians 8. That is a demonstration of radical generosity in the midst of great trial by the Macedonians. And so what the New Testament teaches is obedience to God, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and responding with whatever the Holy Spirit asks. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Where is our security? Who do we look to for direction? Let's read on. So this man's gone away. Jesus has his disciples with him. He says to them, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. He goes on, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus gives them something that is impossible. And maybe you've heard the kind of the stories of that gate that's supposed to be called the eye of the needle. There's not a lot of, and the camel having to stoop down. There's not really a lot of evidence for that. So what Jesus really here is doing is just saying, look, here's something that is totally impossible. And his disciples get it. They were even more amazed. They said to each other, well, who can be saved? Can anyone be saved? And this is where we catch the full force of the grace of God. Because Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. Yeah, no one can be saved. There's nothing we can do, nothing any of us can do. Giving all of our money away to the poor is not going to save us. But all things are possible with God. There's the good news. There is the moment where Jesus says, look, it might look like a camel going through the eye of a needle, an impossibility. But when you meet the grace of God, then you can be saved. But meeting the grace of God, requires taking the whole of our lives and placing the entire security of everything that we are, everything we hope for, everything we depend on, into the hands of God. And we do that through Jesus. Let's read on a little further as we come to a close. Peter speaks up. It's always Peter, isn't it? "We've left everything to follow you. We've done just what you asked, Jesus." Jesus goes on, "Truly, I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age." And he lists all these things. And he says, along with persecutions. Oh, okay. We're not to read this in the way that those who think of the prosperity gospel do, in the sense that, oh, we give £100, God gives us back a lot more. No, that's not how we read this. We read this in the sense that when we place our life into the hands of God, we find there abundant blessing and persecution. But blessed are those who are persecuted. So even in the trials that we face, we find blessing. We find relationship with each other. We find places of community. We find strength walking in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I could go on. If we walk with Jesus, we find an abundance of life. What does all this mean for us? Well, 2 things to leave us with. The first is that recognition of the immensity of God's grace. That he would come and die for us because he loved us. That there's nothing we can do to earn our way into his kingdom. All he asks is that we respond to his invitation by placing the whole, the entirety of our lives into his hands. That's the first thing. The second thing is to look at in our own lives and say, well, what are those things where my security is maybe more in that than in Jesus? And what might the instruction of Jesus be to me to shift that balance? If that is money, if the thought of giving abundantly is like, oh, what would Jesus say? Probably, well, go give abundantly. Find the freedom, because until you do that, you won't find the freedom. But it might be something else. But I think the challenge for each of us there is to listen to the Holy Spirit. To examine ourselves. And to recognize the importance, just the value of eternal life. And that it's only in getting rid of these things that are holding us back that we're going to find that place where our faces just light up like those people in that church. When we start talking about Jesus and we realize that if we had nothing but Jesus, we would have everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the abundance of your grace, the enormity of your grace. I thank you for the invitation to receive your grace, that is open to every one of us. That you declare that invitation loudly and clearly over our lives. And I pray for each of us as we reflect on your invitation, that you would show us those things that hold us back from you and give us the courage to do all we can to rid ourselves of those things that hold us back, that we may place our lives entirely into your hands. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.